Sister, woman, sister, can you still feel any pain? Or have they robbed you of your anger while putting Thorazina in your vein? Sister, woman, sister, have the walls grown up so high that you can't even dream of leaving and you've forgotten how to fly?
Hi, I'm Irene Yarrow, and this is Every Woman's Space.
To take away your child, and they locked her up in some juvenile hall to grow up weary and wild. Oh, sister,
this is a program for all women, lesbian, bisexual, heterosexual, and celibate, well known and not known, of different racial and ethnic groups, of all classes and all ages. This is a place for us to be together, to talk, to listen, to learn, to grow. And especially, it's a place for communication. Tonight's show is all about communication. It's about you and me and us. It's about this program, Every Woman's Space. This is the time that I've been promising, where we can have a lot of space to talk to each other. I'm going to tell you a little bit about me and how I got here and how I feel about doing this show. And I'm going to read some letters that a lot of you have written in, and I'm going to ask you to call me very soon. And the calls, as usual, will be from women only, and I'm going to be talking about why tonight and asking any of you who have feelings about that to tell me. And I'm especially going to want to be hearing from you suggestions on what kind of shows you want to hear in the future. Criticism on what you've heard so far and any kind of appreciation you want to give me will also be accepted. We might also, if there's time, hear a little bit more of Holly Near's music, because she is the one who sings Sister, Woman, Sister on every show, and I listened to some of her albums today and found 5-6 at least other songs which were so wonderful that I thought it would be really good to find time on this show to play one or two others. Let's see. Well, as some of you may know, if you've listened to all the shows, I'm a writer, really, and I've just recently turned into a person who does this radio show. 2 years ago, I came here to WBAI and took part in a woman radio workshop. The workshop existed for about 6 months, and in the course of it, many really fine feminist programs were produced. The two that I've played on the show were produced at that time, the one on masturbation and the one on coming out. There were programs on women in prison. There were programs, there was one called Women in the Mental Cage, a whole lot of really, really good programs. After a while, what happened was the women's radio department workshop started to fade out. People stopped coming. We really had a little bit of trouble because almost every meeting that we had, there were about 2/3 of the people who came were brand new, so a whole lot of time had to be spent on orientation. I dropped out after about 4 months or 5 months, but the reason I did was mainly because I still considered myself a writer and I wanted to be a writer and have time to write, and making radio was taking all of my time, so I wanted to go back to being a writer. So I hung out and waited for about 2 years, and the writing didn't come. I don't know why, but I'm in the middle of a very large writer's block, and all of the work, all of the things that you've heard me read on the show in the past 2 months, 2.5 months, have been things that I wrote prior to 2 or 3 years ago. Then, about a year ago, a person called Bill Monahan here at the station did an all-night show after the failure of Intro 554, which would have given gay civil rights to the gay people in New York City. And he did an all-night show on people's reactions to it, and he asked me to take part in it, and I did, and it was wonderful, and I remembered how much I loved doing radio. And then I went home and said, now I'm a writer. And then about 6 months after that, Judy Pasternak, who produces the lesbian radio show here, produced a special called Mothers, Daughters, and Lovers, and I took part in that for about 3 hours one Saturday afternoon, read some of my work and talked with her about what it was like being a lesbian mother. And I love doing radio again. So I made up my mind that I wanted to do it and worked at it and tried and asked people and finally got to do this show. I thought a lot about what kind of a show I wanted to do. And I came up with this one. So far, I feel really good about it, and I feel like it's accomplishing what I want to accomplish, The mail that I get from women who listen convinces me of that, that it is really a space that you all like tuning into, that you feel that you're a part of, that you hear things on it that gives you stimulation, information, intellectual enjoyment, pleasure, fun, all kinds of things. And it's a place where we are really exploring our culture. Altogether, I feel wonderful about it. I also feel very nervous. I think it's like a really big responsibility. Sometimes I wonder why me and why I should be the one doing this. I question a lot my choice of programs. Am I really choosing things that are of interest to all women? I get stage fright every time I'm here. I stumble. I think I'm getting better at it, though. That's all on that sort of negative side. On the positive side, I love doing this. I find it creatively and intellectually very, very, very stimulating. I find it as satisfying as writing was to me. Although I hope that someday I'll write again. If I don't, and if I go on doing radio, I think I'll feel fine about my life. I find it a challenge and a pleasure. I really have a sense of doing something worthwhile, and I think almost the most important thing of all is that it's a very, very fine learning experience for me. Every time I do a program on a subject, I learn things that I might not have learned otherwise. I might not have picked up a book, for example, on menopause, and now I know all about menopause, and not only do I know about it, but I had a really special experience talking to a woman who's going through it and who thought that it was an important enough thing to be going through that she's spending years of her life talking to thousands of women and writing a book about it. And this happens with many, many of the shows that I do here, and it feels great. What I want to do with the show, as I say almost every show, so I won't take a long time about it, is reach all women together. I want women who are lesbians to listen, and I want women who are bisexual and heterosexual and celibate and old and young and famous and not famous for anything at all, and family women and women who are very poor and women who work really hard and women who don't have to do that, but just women, for us all to be here together and to find all of the ways that we have so many things to share and to do it in this space. I want to especially try to reach the women who are outside of the movement. And what I mean by that is specifically women who don't spend a lot of time consciously exploring themselves and their lives as women and their roles as women and what they want to change. And I want to maybe get them interested in doing that. I want to spread this movement. I think of this program as a part of the women's movement. And I hope you do, too. I want to make sure that we're always discussing and talking about things that are of importance to women. And that's why one of the things that I want to happen is to have you tell me when you call me very soon what you want to hear. What next? Let's see. I'm going to go off for a minute and just say to some... I want to say something to somebody who's written me a few letters. I want to say, happy birthday, Liz. Thank you for your letters. I wrote you. You obviously didn't get the letter yet, but it's coming. And I want to tell you that the place you can buy Patience and Sarah is at Labrys or Woman Books bookstores in Manhattan. And they're both listed in the phone book. I really love getting letters from all the women who write in. I get all different kinds of letters. One of the things that I've gotten a lot of communication about is the fact that I don't take calls from men. Briefly, to restate it, why I don't. I want all the energy and all the time of this show to go directly from woman to woman. We don't have enough places where this can happen. If there are men listening who want to call in and say things, let me say this to them. If you do have a consciousness of the seriousness of the oppression of women, you'll respect our need for this kind of a space and not call the show. However, I am not closed to you. I'm glad if you're listening, and you're welcome to write letters, and they do come, and I read them, and I answer them, and I like getting them. I just don't want to use the time of this show, the 1 hour of this show, having you on the air. I had a lot of conflict about whether to read a couple of letters from men on the show, and I decided that I would, although I can't figure out if that goes against my own policy, but I decided that I would because I do want us to have a dialogue if possible. But first, here's a letter from a woman agrees with me. Dear Ms. Yarrow, I am listening to the health program on Every Woman's Space and empathizing with the poem against gynecological humiliation which we all suffer. The theft of our reproductive power is the destruction of Mother Earth on an individual basis. It is comforting to be able to tune into a woman show which is woman identified, which deals with us as subject, not object. For this reason, I think it only logical not to accept phone calls from non-women. While I applaud the efforts of males to understand and fight sexism, they too have to be willing to let us have our forum where we can use the precious time to cope with our problems. We should not have to spend part of every woman's space hour educating them. They must turn to each other for that, and certainly no time need be wasted on those non-women who call to hassle or challenge us. There seems to be a real objection on the part of straight women to all women broadcasting, newspaper articles, and meetings. They feel that coping with male attitudes is a big and demanding part of their lives, as it is for all women, and that therefore males should be let in on our efforts to change things. While I can understand this, I have noticed that it is much, much harder to be a self-sufficient, woman-identified woman than to be a male-identified woman, and it is therefore necessary for us to affirm our strength, unity, and commonality of experience by ourselves without the intrusion of males. We can choose to deal with men in our own individual ways, whatever way suits us. But to welcome calls from them on our program is to minimize the validity of our female culture, which in many, if not most ways, is superior to the male culture because of its aggressiveness, militarism, non-emotionalism, etc. Sharing our program with them says we are incomplete without them or afraid of displeasing them. On an individual basis, women may want to deal with this type of feeling toward males, but it is rather demoralizing to have to adopt this as an official policy of Every Woman's Space. Well, we haven't. Now, here's a letter from a man who disagrees, and it goes, this isn't what it says. The first word, I have to say blank, because I'm not allowed to say it on the air. Blank you. Blank you for not taking calls from men on your radio show. If women are oppressed, and at least I believe they aren't falling by the wayside due to lack of innate abilities. They are oppressed. Oppressed by men. Yes, men like me. And unless you can run a radio show that will raise my consciousness as well, we will continue to oppress women. Unless you bring male consciousness along with your own, you're not going anywhere. And by dismissing male input from your show, what are you achieving? Women alone, men alone, where are we going? It's not chance that I open this letter with blank you, Irene, because that's exactly what men will continue to do to you unless you aim a dialogue for them as well. And I won't be listening because you already turned me off. Thanks, he says. And he didn't give me his address, so I couldn't write him back. What I say to him is, I do want to raise your consciousness, but I don't think that I have to do it by letting you have time on the air. I think that I can do it by having you listen and learn and grow from listening to us. I don't see why you have to take up the time of our show. There was a letter from a man who said, let me thank you for your part in the revival of feminist programming at BAI. There have been many purges, and each time it grows back oh so slowly, but so strengthened. He also enclosed a rather large check for the station. And one more. You wouldn't know this was written by a man, except that I'm going to tell you it was. Every Woman's Space is my favorite program on the radio. This is very funny. I have two big problems with it, though. As soon as it's over, I start to smash my radio and forget all about your next program. So I have to take it to the repair creeps to get it fixed in time for your next show. My second problem, if solved, would also solve the first one, is that you should be allotted more time for your show. I am seriously very saddened when you reach the end of your show, and my aggravation is only worsened when you have to waste what little time you have, which is minuscule when compared to the amount of space every woman needs, explaining and re-explaining each show your highly applaudable position of not allowing men or people of the male persuasion to talk on the air. He goes on for a long time, but I'm not going to read anymore. He also drew a very nice picture of a very strong, androgynous-looking woman carrying the world on her back and having to walk through crowds and crowds and crowds and crowds of men who are shouting, go back, stop, halt, wrong way, you're under arrest. I think I should give the phone number at this point. And the phone number, if you want to call, is 371-5200. to repeat, 371-5200. Call me if you have anything to say about calls from men, about the show, to me, about anything. If you don't want to call, it's okay. I know you're there because I get a lot of mail from you. Let's see. I want to read one letter that is really important that I don't forget to read while we see if any calls come in. Listen to this. Dear Irene, I really enjoy your radio program so very, very much. I think that it's a great radio program. Let me tell you about myself. I'm 30 years old. I am very, very handicapped. I have cerebral palsy. I'm unable to walk or to talk, but I understand everything. I have a high school diploma. Handicapped people need love, too. We have feelings just like anybody else. I would like some of your people to write to me because I need some new friends. I feel a little lonely once in a while. Do you know where I could buy the record album, Sister Woman Sister? I'm not one for feeling sorry for myself just because I have cerebral palsy. I feel like I'm just like everybody else. Handicapped people need to be touched and loved. Well, I have to close this letter now. Please have some of your people write to me. I would really love to hear from them. You can show this letter to anyone if you like. I can't give the address over the air, but I wrote her, and I'll probably write her again, and I really would love for you all to write her. The way to do that would be to write to me in care of the station. I'll give the address later, and I will send you her address. We have a phone call. WBAI, you're on the air. Hello? WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi.
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 Yeah.
I'm surprised I was the first one to call. I just want to talk about one issue that does bother me a bit.
Okay.
In the whole movement that I see, which is there seems to be... you said that you want this program to be heard by, and listened to and participated in by women who are gay and straight and, you know, every other way.
Mm-hmm.
Sexually and everything. But maybe I'm being oversensitive, but... I'm not a lesbian myself, and yet I sometimes consider that there are a lot of lesbians that feel, how can I say it, that they are more feminist. I mean, they never come out and say it, but it's almost as if that there is some kind of division that I don't like
mm-hmm.
between us, and it does bother me, and I sense it in a lot of different ways. It's hard to put my finger on it, but I want to know, well, maybe we can approach it by, you talk about, or people use the phrase of being a woman identified versus being male identified.
Uh-huh.
Do you think you could clarify that, this, when you use the word woman identified, or when people in the movement use that word,
mm-hmm.
do they mean that you are a woman identified, to the exclusion of ever, you know, relating to a male? Or does it just mean that you identify with your own sex very strongly? Is that all the implications it has?
As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't mean that you relate only with women.
Mm-hmm.
It means a lot of different things. One of the strongest things it means is that you really identify with yourself,
right.
That you feel good about yourself, and that you don't run your life and worry about your appearance and your speech patterns and anything else that you might be or do, thinking always about what a man is going to think.
Yeah, and also that you define for yourself your own feelings and your own, you know, like women should define what menopause is because they go through it. And
right.
Yeah, okay.
Right. I know what you mean about lesbians sometimes making women who are not lesbians feel that they lesbians are superior in terms of feminism. I think that the women's movement has gone through many, many changes since it began. It started out with lesbians being excluded from the movement, and then they got real angry.
No, I understand that. Why they would be angry at that. And I really want to feel that all lesbian women are my sisters and that I don't want to feel, you know, separated from them because I happen to like a few men once in a while or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to feel, I want them to know and I want them to realize that I feel that you don't have to be a lesbian and you can still feel as strongly that women have to shape their own lives, and that just because you may relate to some men doesn't mean that you aren't by necessity letting them run your life.
Right, absolutely. I think that one of the most well known lesbian songwriters wrote a song that said every woman can be a lesbian.
Yeah.
Now,
well,
though that may be true, I feel essentially that the likelihood of every woman becoming a lesbian is not very great, and I feel very, very strongly and increasingly so that all women are my sisters, whoever they are, and that includes all of the many, many, many women who don't relate with women and maybe never will. And I find what I started to say before, that there's been a very large change in the women's movement in the past year, especially the lesbian segment of it, where most of the women I knew who tended towards being separatists have changed a whole lot and are becoming much more. I don't know whether humanist is the right word.
You know, I don't even have a quarrel with the separatists. I think I understand their stand, and I think they have a right to it. What I really resent, and now I'm finding the words, what I really resent is the implication that if you do relate to men at all, then you are, by definition, letting them, you know, that just relating to them and just, you know, trying to have a relationship of any kind with a man is that you're being unfeminist. You're letting them dictate everything to you.
I don't personally think that's true, and I know women who relate with men who don't let the men tell them the way to be.
No, I know. I'm just saying that there are some lesbian women that seem to, if they don't say it out loud, they seem to imply that. And that's the only thing that bothers me a little, you know, otherwise.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. There are some lesbians who feel that way. I can't deny that. But I think there also are many, and I feel probably many more, who don't feel that way anymore.
I do, too, because I've met, you know, of all the women I've met that are gay, like, you know, I mean, most of them are beautiful, and I don't feel this separation, but I hate feeling it, you know.
It's amazing. I don't know how relevant this is, but I think it is, which is that when I first came out, before I'd ever knew any lesbians at all, I assumed that when I was finally in a room full of lesbians, they would all look somewhat alike. And they would all act alike. And then I found myself in a very large room with about 300 women, and I slowly understood that most of them were gay.
Uh-huh.
And I looked around me, and I saw women of every, just like, you know, being in a subway car or in a room with any group of women anywhere. And what I'm trying to say is there are as many different lesbians as there are women, and they have a lot of different feelings and ideologies, and some will exclude you, and some will say, I'm better than you because I only relate with women, but many, many won't.
Right. Oh, I believe that. I'm not saying that at all, you know, really. I'm just saying that it does bother me when it happens, because I hate to feel that separateness, you know.
Well, I'm glad we could talk about it a little. I hope you don't feel it, and I hope this program will help
no,
eliminate
that. I like the show, and I don't think you do that, and I
Great.
Think it's a really good... But I wanted to bring it out in case anybody wanted to. I just wanted to
right.
make that
okay.
point. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for calling.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yeah.
You got to turn your radio down.
Yeah. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about how your views and the things that you encourage women to think about and... pursue, reconcile with Christian principles about the role of women in the world.
Wow.
Because, you know, in the Bible, especially in the New Testament specifically, says that this is definitely not part of Christian principles.
Are you specifically talking about lesbianism?
Well, no, not because you're saying your program, speaks to all of women's interests, both lesbian and non-lesbian. So that I was wondering if you could answer, you know, on a very broad basis, all your aspirations of what you want this program to do from the standpoint of being of help to women.
Okay, I'd be glad to. First of all, I think that the most valuable ethics of Christianity are mine, too, which are to be very open to each other, to care for each other, to support each other, to not be unkind to people. In general, all of the things that are called Christian virtues could also be called sisterhood. I think they're the same thing. And the second thing is that I don't believe... anything that's written by anyone anywhere that says women belong in a specific place, such as to serve men or to be there, to be in any secondary role.
Oh, it specifically says so in the Bible.
I know, and I specifically disagree. And one thing I want to say is the reason it specifically says that in the Bible is because the Bible was written by men. And
well, the Bible is a revelation of God, not by man.
Well,
the Bible is the Word of God, you see, and that's why I was wondering how can you reconcile your views and what you encourage women to think about and to pursue and to support. How do you reconcile that with Christian principles? Because it everything that you say and do is directly in opposition to the Word of God, and you propose your program to be of help to women. You say it's to encourage women to raise them, to lift their consciousness.
Right.
And
I guess I feel strongly that a lot of the ideas that are presented in the Bible are detrimental to women's self-growth, strength, self-image, and all of the things that I do believe in as a part of feminism. And if that is in disagreement with the Bible, then it just has to be. And I think that it's important for women to move away from the things that they've been brought up with if those things turn out to be harmful to them.
Well, the thing that I want to go on record to say is that I'm not talking about the women who've been brought up with it, but rather those that have never heard about the Word of God, because in most homes, people have been doing the very thing that you're encouraging, and that's to turn their back on God. And I say that any group of women who are taught to turn their back on the Word of God can never be raising their consciousness, can never be helping themselves, but actually are headed straight for the very path that you say you're looking to pursue.
Well, I think that, I guess I'm going to have to hang up soon because there are a number of other calls, but what I want to say is that, what I have to say is that I disagree with your beliefs insofar as the Bible go, but I don't think that that alienates from me from you as a woman, and I think I'm just going to have to leave it at that. Thank you very much for calling. BAI, you're on the air.
Hi. I had only heard your show once before, so I hope this is applicable.
That's okay.
There are really two things. One is that I think the American dream is still very persistent.
Mm-hmm.
I think a little bit more with men than with women. I myself have... I was an artist and have been going through some depressions and big blockings for about 2 years. And when I spoke to some professional people, some clergymen, the thing they always brought up was, well, you're 26, why haven't you married?
Mm-hmm.
That was the primary question. Now, what was going on, or it was a matter that, you know, it was more internal that I had to deal with what was happening inside myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel kind of angry and defensive at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was,
I think the American dream has turned out to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
For a whole generation, for a whole sex, for all of us. If you just take a look at how unhappy most people are who have followed that and looked for Prince Charming and looked for happiness in someone else rather than happiness in themselves.
Yeah.
It's something that we all grew up with, and it takes an awful lot of struggling to break away from, but I don't think that there is any happiness or any rainbow at the end of that dream at all.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
The other show I was going to talk about was the vulnerability of females in psychiatric hospitals, particularly state hospitals.
Mm. You know, someone did a program in that women's radio workshop that I talked about called Women in the Mental Cage.
Uh-huh.
And it's really an incredible show, and I'm going to get hold of it and play it sometime in the near future. Although it's about 2 years old now, I think it's still absolutely relevant and a very, very important issue for women to think about. It's just awful.
Yeah.
Do you have any suggestions for future shows?
Not offhand. I've not been exposed to enough to really have too much of an idea right now.
Uh-huh.
But I really am interested in whatever's going on.
Okay.
So well, thank you.
I'm really glad you're listening.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening, ma'am.
Yeah, I'm sorry that we don't take calls from men on this show. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yeah, please, sir.
I'm sorry, but we don't take calls from men. We'll have to go on again. No more calls right now, but that's okay. Okay, let's see. Here's a. I decided that I would give myself the pleasure of reading one yay letter. Because I think it says yay, but it also says some really relevant things. This woman says, I just listened to your show and I'm glad I did. I'm sorry I missed the recent shows on coming out and masturbation. I like your program a lot. I happened to tune into the program during the Walk Against Rape. The discussion and the poem that one woman read made me resolve to go to the program and participate in the walk. And that's just what I want to happen. One thing I'd like to mention specifically about the tone of your show, because the content is exciting and thought-provoking and vital, is that I feel I really can call in and contribute, discuss, and ask questions, etc. I know BAI is listener-sponsored, and many shows are call-ins, and that's why I subscribe. But in actuality, it's only the too few feminist programs that I really can call into, not feel intimidated by being on the radio, and feel respected by the program participants. So thank you for this and many other things. Keep educating me, challenging me, helping me develop my feminism, and introducing me to wonderful women. Thank you very much, writer.